Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 72 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Duplicating the Original, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you so much, oh God, for this privilege and this opportunity we have to be in your house with your people, that we get to come and commune with each other in likeness and unity of spirit and mind and heart. It's our prayer, O God, that this day will change lives, bring healing and health to our bodies and our minds and our souls and our spirits. We pray, O God, that all things will work together truly for good to them that love you. So, Lord God, is our prayer that our love for you will grow and be even greater as we leave this sanctuary this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're in Lesson 72. I'm going to give a test on the first 71 next week. I don't know how this happened, but it did. And our teaching on the prophetic this week is, we've been in this topic of changing spiritual atmosphere, and the spiritual atmospheres are just like the atmospheres upon this planet. The atmospheres are created by different disturbances or the different, the atmosphere pressure and what's going on in around the globe. So is the spiritual atmosphere. It's the same. It's created by depressions, high pressures, low pressures of the spirit. It's created just the same. High pressures tend to push around the low pressures, and they tend to dominate. And so it is with the people of God. God has created us, the people of God, to cooperate with him in running this planet. And I don't know if we consider that very much or not, but he has created us to work in cooperation with him with what's going on in planet Earth. When I look at planet Earth, I at times feel as though perhaps we are running a little behind on our job description. As we can see, there's plenty that needs to be taken care of on behalf of God's kingdom. So we come together and we try to learn what is it that's really going on. I think it is in changing spiritual atmosphere. I've got the title. This is part two of We Change Spiritual Atmosphere by Duplicating the Original. And when God was creating the earth and creating mankind, we have to consider the reason he created us to start with. You know, he gave man dominion in the Garden of Eden. He gave man dominion over the earth. He gave man dominion to rule and to reign. And when I use that word, he gave man, we know that that word can be translated male or female. Because of different cultural settings, there has been it is hard for the female of our species, it's hard for the female to be fully in the image of God because it has been cast in our culture that she is second to the male. And I don't have time to get into all of that today, and I'm not a feminist, nor am I a male chauvinist. I try to be a biblicist. And we have to understand that with even like the word Elohim, Elo is masculine, Ohim is feminine. So I don't know why I'm getting into this morning, but we, in God, it is both. It's male and female, Elohim. And then God created Adam and Eve. He created Adam and he took out of Adam Eve. The point is not that one's greater than the other. The point was that it's a picture of Elohim, of God. You have a feminine side and a masculine side. And so therefore, he's in the Garden of Eden, he separated the two to get a viewpoint of that. And that's the reason you have man and woman. I need to stop on that one because I could go way on. I could go forever on that topic. But my point is this. For the male or female, one or the other, to see that they are greater than less or less than, you can't get to where I'm wanting to take you. You've got to understand that we were all created in the image of God. And one's incomplete without the other, as far as the God type or a picture of who God is. And so by doing that, when we're getting into creating atmospheres by duplicating the original, it's important as a prophetic people that you understand that as male and female, masculine and feminine, as a male, I show parts of God, and as female, the female shows parts of God. And the female tends not to be as masculine, and the male tends not to be as feminine. But it takes us all, in other words, to create the idea of how God is. It takes a male and a female to make the thinking complete. Are y'all kind of following me in that? Now, I'm saying this all in spiritual terms. It's very important in the prophetic, so that the female sees herself just as equal to, if you want to use that terminology, it's not necessary, but equal to or the same as male is in his characteristics. And for that reason, here's another topic, though, that's the reason I wasn't wanting to go here too much. When you get into homosexuality and things, it starts messing with that completeness of how God did this thing. I think a female should be representative of God, and a female, the feminine side, and the male, totally male. As a male, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to, don't come to me if you want the mothering side of God. That you can ask anybody around me knows that. If you want to go to war or battle, then you can come to me. And I told Steve yesterday, he did a wedding, and we came down, and I said, you sure did a good job, but that would be so painful for me to have to officiate a wedding, because that's not that side of my own personal personality. But the reason I go through this is to show you that there is, that no one's a lesser than a male nor a female, no one's lesser than. Now, as you get further into that topic, you also see as a male, some males feel lesser than other males spiritually, and some females can see themselves as lesser. But my point's this, as a prophetic people, lesser is not used in that in our understanding of trying to duplicate the original. And the reason I bring up male and female is there is a, the word Jehovah is the same way. It's got a masculine and feminine part of the Hebrew. It's in there. It said Jehovah Elohim when it's both there. And the point being, as a prophetic people, we've got to see, I would like for the feminine side to see themselves just as important and just as equal in God as the male, right? To me, that's important because in the authority issues that we have in the prophetic, there is authority that we walk in and that's to be used. And for the most part, I believe as believers, we have given up our authority. In other words, when we sin, you give up authority. Did you know that? Did you know that God gave us all authority in the garden? But when you sin, you give up some of your God-given authority because you have authority not to. So when you do, you give it up. Now, here's the problem. When you give it up, who gets it? The sin. So then it'll have authority over you. Can you see the transference of authority there? So what is the problem? What's the consequences of sin, or what is the idea of sin? It's all about transference of authority. Why does Satan want you to sin? Because he wants your authority. You're not waiting to get it. You already got it in Christ Jesus. But if you got it, it means you can give it away. So there comes responsibility with holding authority. Can you see that? So as we're moving into duplicating the originals, it's important that you understand this idea of the reason we duplicate originals is because in the original, there is authority. When we agree with God, we spend our authority in agreeing with God. When we agree with sin, we have just given our sin away to the sin. That's the reason we call it an addiction. The only thing that's happened is you've given your authority to drugs, alcohol, or whatever. You got to get your authority back. You've given it into a substance let's say if you're abused by someone. If you let someone abuse you, you're giving them your authority. And so what happens? They'll use that authority. You're intimidated, right? And then the abuse. And so did you know if you blame someone that you have given them your authority? Now think about it. To blame someone for where you are is to give that someone authority over your life. So, why do we forgive someone? You get take back your authority. You get your authority back. It's not just a... Now, that's the male side of me, all right? It's not this little goosey thing, oh, look how sweet I am, I forgave you. That's not me. This is the male side. I'm going to forgive you because I want my power back. I just empowered you with my power, and I want it back, so I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you. You're not going to bother me anymore. You are forgiven. Be set free and go fly a kite because I want my authority back, all right? Now, so why do we forgive? Well, because that's where the authority is. Why do we not? The word blame comes from the word blasphemy. That's where we get the word blame from blasphemy. And so I can't blame you unless I have first judged you. Blaming is passing sentence. Judge not, lest you be judged by that you judge. So what happens is you give that person the authority and it comes back on you. Is anybody following what I'm trying to say here? So it is very important that you don't blame anybody for anything. Whatever you blame, you give the authority. I wasn't going to go here today, but I guess I'm here already. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve dominion. Serpent came on the scene. Serpent didn't really do anything. He just said, did God say? I got this in my slides. I need to follow them, I guess. And they were in the garden, and when they were in the garden, they partook of the apple, and God said, went to Adam, said, Adam, hey, man, what's going on here? Adam said, wasn't me, God. It was that woman you gave me. So Adam took his authority and placed it on the woman. You see it? He blamed her for it. What'd the woman say? Oh, it was a serpent, God. Wasn't me. Is that serpent beguiled me? So what'd the woman do? She gave it to the serpent. What'd the serpent say? Nothing. Why? Because he had all the authority. You see it? Say, Alan, I got it. So this is very important as a prophetic people. We don't walk in any judgments. Because when you pass judgment, you pass blame. When you pass blame, you use your authority there. And then that authority comes back on you. So what happens? Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus is responsible, and he takes upon himself all of the sin of mankind. He didn't blame anybody. Didn't even blame the devil. Jesus took upon himself all the sin of the world. He said, blame me. Well, the reason, in the spiritual science of the thing, the reason he said that is because in the spiritual science, he knew when he did that thing that then he had all this authority. Anybody get that? That's how he restored authority. He took it all on him. And when he did that, then he had the authority to speak against it. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see as a prophetic people, you can't give your authority away. You got to keep your authority. You can't blame. You can't judge. That means you got to be responsible. Can you hear me? A responsible people. What does responsible mean? Responsible means that you're responsible for you. You don't blame somebody else. You're responsible. So therefore, a responsible person takes ownership. You see, we don't want to own our sin, but the trouble is, ownership is authority. You take ownership of who you are. You take ownership of what you do. And if you walk around life blaming everybody else for your circumstance, you're just not getting it. You got it? Very, very important as a prophetic people that we're responsible. We're responsible for our own actions, and the reason we're responsible and we're not going to blame anybody or anything is because we don't want to give our authority away. And when we don't do that, we have authority, so when we speak, things happen. Got her? Anybody want to continue on this teaching? Okay. So we want to change atmosphere by duplicating original. When we're duplicating original, this is to a people who's not given their authority away. So God is constantly, New Testament, trying to teach us and show us on how to hold our authority and how to use our authority or breathe, speak His authority with inspiration. The reason it has inspiration is because we have not given our authority away. Have you tried speaking with authority and nothing happens? You see, you have, like in a workplace, you're given responsibilities. Well, A good workplace gives you authority over those responsibilities. A bad workplace says gives you responsibilities with no authority. And therefore, you're not very successful. So, the principle is, if you've got responsibilities, you got authority over it. So, being responsible and being a disciple of Christ is not optional. You have to be responsible with your life. You've got to quit blaming everybody for where you are. Now, I don't care if somebody did do something. Quit blaming them and take authority over where you are. Got her? It's not about if somebody's guilty or not. Because when you say they're guilty or not, you're into judgment. When you do judgment, you place blame. And when you place blame, you give away the very authority that's needed to defeat the situation. Amen? Now, I'm going to go into duplicating the original, how this authority works. Now, attitude is everything. We'll do, it's a few slides here from last week, but I got to use them. Attitude is everything. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ Jesus took all authority over all things. He was the ultimate person of authority. There again, this is the male side, but it's authority. Watch this in Proverbs. A joyful heart is what? Good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Well, do you think that's just a nice poetic term, or do you think it's real? It's a pretty good chance it's real. A joyful heart is a good medicine. You have to take authority over your heart if you want to be well. Now, what do I say is well? Is to be healthy. That's your mind and your body and your spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. It's important for us to take authority over our heart. Now, this is big stuff. It's a whole lot easier to say than do. I realize that. But somebody's got to say it. Now, y'all remember this. This is the the elephant in the chain. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If the heart is the issue, the seat of soul of man, the heart is the issue, then the condition of that heart is very important. Would you agree? If the heart is the issue, the condition of the heart is very important. So do we not need to be careful on how we treat the heart? Yes, we need to be very careful how I treat my heart and how I treat your heart. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I see here that how I think has some things to do with how I am. Right? When you say, okay, I'm not going to do that one too long because I get off on the side trail there. The purpose of life is to expose our attitudes. Attitude is everything. If your attitude stinks in certain areas, you need to start looking because something's dead. Have you ever went up to somebody and said, well, your attitude stinks? Well, something's dead in there somewhere. You need to get rid of it. In other words, something in you is not bringing life. You can usually go behind the door that's titled criticism and find most of it. Because we have a critical nature that's in fallen man, it's rampant. It's just, it comes under pride. And when we're critical, it tends to have more death to it than it does life. Did you know that you can look at a situation or problem and dissect it and not have a critical attitude? See, we take the word critical as a term that is healthy. I'm just saying the attitude or spirit behind it brings death. We can look at something and have a good observation of it and not have a critical attitude. Now, says in Philippians, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So here the Apostle Paul is telling us doesn't make any difference if you got a lot or if you got a little. That's not the goal. There's another goal here. In other words, if I have something or don't have something, doesn't have anything to do with what I can do. Do y'all see that? Has nothing to do with what I can do. Goes on to say this, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Here I started teaching you in the last few weeks on the breath and the breathing, the breath of God. That's where life is. It's in the breath. It's in the speaking that brings this life. I went over Zachar's, remember, and speak. You remember the Zachar? God created man, Zachar, and woman, Zachar, in his image, which is the remembering ones. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The mouth of the righteous is the what? Fountain of what? Of life. Now, it's not just a fountain. The fountain's not necessarily the issue. What comes out of it is, which is life. So, I mean, that's a pretty big statement. I think we could stop right there and meditate on that for a while and think of, see if we could really get it. But it says here that the mouth of the righteous is the fountain of life. Amazing. Now, Jesus is the living Word. We know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Last week, I started establishing this thing about the Word and the breath of God, the Word of God, who became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's hard for us to wrap our head around how the Word became flesh. And the easiest thing to do is go ahead and accept it and let the other come. Just accept it. The Word became flesh. Now, that tells me something, that his Word must be pretty powerful. Inspiration. 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. The idea here, what I was teaching last week, was that this Word has inspiration behind it, or it has breath on it. I have approached it at times and not feel a thing on it. Other times I've approached it and I can feel the wind on it, if you can get that. The word inspiration means God breathed. Inspiration is a process of being mentally stimulated. Now watch this. Please get these words. To do or feel something, especially to do something creative. So, the word inspiration moves us to do something that's creative. Have you ever tried to write a song, let's say, and not be inspired? Songwriters all the time say, I got to get away, or somebody writing a book, or I just can't get the inspiration. I got to be inspired. I've got to have an atmosphere of inspiration. So an atmosphere of inspiration, an atmosphere has a lot to do with inspiration, is my point. Now, when we put God's words in our mouth in 1 Corinthians, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? With spiritual. So here we can see that these things we also speak, it's not in the wisdom of man, but it is possible here to speak words under the inspiration of God. In other words, we can speak words with the wind of God on it. Jeremiah says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So is that possible? The answer is yes. But I submit to you, when the Holy Spirit puts the words of God in your mouth, they came out of your heart. There is something preceding the breath out of your mouth, and it's the thoughts of the heart. And then I've already talked about this. I've kind of preceded myself, didn't I? An attack on God's Word is an attack on life itself. And I showed you where in the garden we have this authority, and that how this authority is in the Word of God. Satan's first attack was in the garden. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, ye shall not eat of the... So what Satan was attacking was God's word, which is God, right? So we see that this attack in the garden came against them. Now, what was he trying to get? Their authority. You see that? Because it was there that God gave them the authority to have dominion over the earth. So if Satan has been defeated, which he has, where is he getting all this authority? Do the math. He's getting it from us. It's because we're sitting in a place of judgment instead of declaration. If you precede your declaration with a word of judgment, you have no authority in your declaration. Can you see it? So we got to take back our authority. How do we take back our authority? We forgive. When we confess, if I confess that I did something against Trevor, I said, Trevor, I'm sorry, this is what I did against you. I am owning what I did. You got to own it. You can't say, Trevor, I did all this, but I was just kidding. No, I have to own it. I have to say, I did this, and for that, I'm sorry. Now, when I do that, I get my authority back. Because until then, he can hold it over me. Well, Alan, you know what you did. But when I apologize to him, ask for his forgiveness, and he forgives me, he no longer has any authority over me. You see it? That means I now have my authority back in that area. Now, the question is, how much authority are we giving away every day? So we walk around as authority paupers. And pride's what causes us to do it. We spend our authority in all of these areas out of our pride, which is what Satan got thrown out of heaven for. Let me go as far as say this. I don't even blame the devil for spiritual warfare. I just take authority over it. I don't have to blame him. I don't have to blame anybody. I can make an observation without judging it. I make an observation. I'm not going to spend my authority on a blamed old judgment because God's judgment is going to be a whole lot harder than mine. So I'm not going to judge anything. I'm not going to blame the devil for everything. He can do with it what he wants to. I'm just going to take authority over it. Are you kind of catching what I'm saying here? You don't spend your authority. You declare your authority. You use your authority. You can't wear it out either if you use it in his name. You use it over and over and over and over. Once you spend your authority in blame, it's gone. But the good news is we can get it back. The way we get it back is through forgiveness. And it's through that forgiveness that it comes back to us. So what the enemy was after here was that authority. And they gave it to him out of blame. Now, Satan attacks God's word. Satan tried to get Adam and Eve to believe that when they were dealing with God's word, that they were not really dealing with life itself. Now, here's the issue. When God breathes, it's not breath as much as it is life. Life and death comes where? So when we breathe and speak, it's about life and death. So when Satan was coming against God's breathing, his words, he was trying to get the life. And so when everybody started blaming each other for their situation, if you get to thinking about it, it's pretty childish, isn't it? They made me do it, he made me do it. Or Let me say it to you like this. I hope I am the one that did it, because I can ask for forgiveness and get it back. I'm glad it's me and not you, because I don't want to wait on you. I know how it works. Let it be me. I'll apologize. Get on with this thing. Get my authority back so we can move forward. Now, how did God's Word survive through this time? He has promised to preserve it and bring in healing to man's body, soul, and spirit. Remember, the breath, the words, is about life. The part I can't escape, when we come to church, we like to talk about our spirit. We want to grow our spirit and be a spiritual person. But for some reason, now we'll deal with soulless issues, like, you know, you don't need to steal, and you don't need to, you know, you don't need to drive fancy big you don't need to buy 10 Rolls Royces, because it might bring attention to you, and you need to dress modest, and we need to do all these things. That's for the soul, but we don't talk about the body, right? Well, it's going to die, and we're going to leave it anyway, so who cares? Here's the problem with that concept. Have you ever had a body that didn't feel well? It affects the soul and spirit. Now, some people have some horrendous things to deal with in their body, but it affects the soul and the spirit. Now, if somebody comes in running, if a big bear or a lion comes running, well, not a lion, I think it's Jesus, but a big bear comes running through those doors, all of a sudden, we're all going to get a shot of adrenaline. And we're probably, everybody try to go out that door, right? Really fast. Okay, so our body gets a shot of adrenaline to go out that door. So, but it came from something I observed through my five senses, right? I got five senses, you got five senses, and the five senses senses everything in this natural world, right? So my five senses tells my body what to do. But for somewhere or another, the five senses, somebody had to be thinking, which is my spirit and my soul, had to be thinking to say there's a bear, to tell my brain, to tell my body, to give me a shot of adrenaline so I can get out of Dodge. Here's my point. What if a bear doesn't come into the door? You just hear a loud noise because somebody slammed the door. Same shot of adrenaline to the body, I want to run. Now, here's my point. Your body can't see. Your adrenaline gland can't see. It can only do what it's told. Are you with me? Well, how's it told? It's told through my mind, through my spirit, through my soul. So how I perceive something tells my mind how to think, which then turns biological, the biology of the body then takes over. Shoot adrenaline or whatever you're doing, right? So if my body can't see, it's taking directions from somebody, which is how I think, right or wrong. If I see that box of 12 donuts that I talked about last week, and I see that box of 12 donuts, I have to talk myself into it before I can eat it. I already know I shouldn't eat 12. So I have this internal argument whether I'm going to eat them or not. So then I throw them down, then my body's going to react to them. It might say yum, yum for a little bit, but for me to think that I can eat a dozen donuts every day and not gain weight is not true. But I can fool myself into it. Right? Based on how I think. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you want to know how you think, and look how you is. Does that make sense? That's right. Don't blame somebody else. See, you knew this was going to get gooder, didn't you? Don't blame somebody else. You got to take ownership for how you are. Don't blame somebody else. Now, you might can... Let me ask you this. Would you go to the local dumpster and pull out, there'd be a whole chicken laying in there and been in there for about 2 weeks. Now, you wouldn't pull that chicken out, take it home and eat it, would you? Why? It'll make a body sick. But yet, you'll go watch a movie or you'll go watch something that's nothing but a dirty, rotten chicken put in your soul, in your spirit, and think it won't make you sick. Or we'll put into our spirit judgment, blame, bad attitude, all of this stuff, all that rotten chicken stuff, and think it won't make us sick. What the Scripture's saying, as a man thinketh, so is he. We'll eat rotten chicken with our spirit and thinking it won't make our body sick. It'll even make your body sick because it can't have eyes. Are y'all totally confused? Or you're either hanging on to every word I'm saying or you're totally confused. I'm not really sure what I'm looking at here. Y'all kind of getting it? Got it? Okay. As Christians, as spiritual people, we have to start considering all three things of who we are, our body, our soul, and our spirit. We can't just cut one out. The reason is you give your authority away. You can't say that you're a disciplined person because I'm not eating a donut. If you're not disciplined in every area of your life, you're going to eat the blame donut. Discipline is a state of mind. You're either disciplined in your life or you're not. You're either going to eat dead. You say, well, I'm not going to eat dead chicken because it'll make me sick, but you'll eat dead chicken through these other senses and in your spirit, right? I can't watch too much news because to my soul, it's too much dead chicken. I don't know how much I can tolerate. But I don't know if y'all are like that or not. I can't watch. We got so much news now, I can't watch it all. I can't do it. Because I come away nauseated. If I come away nauseated, I know I just eat too much dead chicken. Right? Chicken just got dead. So I realize there's more news, there's more reality. You can say it's truth or not truth or fake news. I don't care. Either way, it'll make you sick. As a believer, our goal is to start. What I'm wanting to express to you, and I ain't got where I was going. There, I've done it again. Is for us as a prophetic people, we've got to start seeing ourselves as body, soul, and spirit. We got to start ministering to the whole person. That's right. It's the whole person we want to start ministering to, not just segment off of I'm worshiping, reading the Bible 12 hours a day, and you're sitting there eating bonbons and you know what I'm saying. You're not eating like you should eat. And then you'll leave from there and watch a dark movie that night on TV or something, you know. I'm just saying, all right, you took care of your spirit, but you didn't take care of your soul and your body. As believers, as an army, I would like for us to start considering that we got to do a better job of this. We're a Trinity just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We're made up those three ways. Do you know why the Trinity works? Because it's in unity. And what God's calling us to do is to call our whole being into unity. If you're not in unity in your body, how in the world are you going to be in unity with everybody else when you're not in unity with yourself? Is that too much? We've got to and I'm not saying that we reach perfection by no means. Because some people have different illnesses and different things, but still, that's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about, the concept is we're going to be healthy. Everything I'm doing, I might be hurting here, I might be doing this, or I might be doing that. I might have this cancer, I don't care. This day forth, I want my whole being to come into unity because I know my mind and my soul can speak to my body. I know my body can speak to my mind. I know because my spirit's in charge here that I'm wanting a healthy being. And I don't think we need to give up any authority in any area body, soul, and spirit, we need to hold our authority and not give it away through judgment, not give it away to a doctor's report, not give it away to how we think. Man, I got to move on. Psalms, the work of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in the furnace of the earth. Purified seven times, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Now you start seeing that the words of God are life. So what I'm wanting us to consider is we're wanting to be a healthy vessel to preserve the Word of God. As you're preserving what God's given you, body, every day of your life, you are either growing healthy or unhealthy, body, soul, and spirit, every day of your life. Being healthy is a grow, you're either growing or dying. You've got to see that every day of your life is to grow. One of the most fundamental things that you can do in having a healthy spirit life is to get sleep. You know that? It's part of your body. It's the way God creates. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't get sleep, it's going to be hard to keep your body healthy and your soul. It's going to be hard. But Trevor, correct me on this, but this is what I've been told, that the healing of the body takes place while you're sleeping. Pretty much. So if the enemy's going to try to attack you, where's he going to try to attack you? What's the most fundamental place? It's in your sleep. It's where the healing of your body, regeneration, takes place. That's just a fundamental thing. But what I want us to consider is we want to be healthy in all areas. How do we sleep in the spirit? We get off by ourselves and we just be with the Lord. We're resting, right? We're resting in the spirit. Very important. Now, we could go on that one for a while. God has committed himself to preserving his pure word forever. Now, the place he's going to preserve it is here. We by us preserving ourselves, so to speak, or taking care and trying to stay as healthy as we can. And what I'm wanting to introduce is to this idea, I think we need to attack the whole being. How we eat, how we sleep, how we think, what we watch. Don't eat dead chicken on TV and don't eat dead chicken for supper. I mean rotten chicken. I hope you're eating dead chicken. Now, God has this plan to preserve his word. It's Isaiah, now go write it before him in a book, in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come and forever. Whatever Isaiah wrote in a book, God said he would preserve. Now, here's God's design of preservation. I wanted to show you how, as we are the vessels in which God's going to preserve his word. Remember, if you're with me, let me bring you up to date here. Life is in God's breath. You have life because God breathes. God's breath contains his words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God, and the Word is, and all that. Life is there. To preserve God's word is to preserve this. The way this is preserved is through discipline. The way discipline reacts is out of being responsible, right? I've already talked to that. Being responsible. If how can I say it? Our pastor's responsible for what goes on at this church. So if something's going on to this church, I go to who's responsible. Why? Because he can fix it. So it's necessary that you are responsible for your life because you're the one that has to fix it. Say, well, Alan, I thought God was supposed to do it. God will help you do it, but you got to do it. That's what I'm talking about. When you give away your authority by blaming something, you got to fix it. You got to repent. Get that authority back. Now you have the authority. Did y'all capture this morning the difference in judgment and declaring authority? Did y'all get that? All right. God is not worried about the originals. He has promised to preserve His Word by copying it down through the ages. So as you start seeing yourself, now I said in the beginning of this teaching, how to change atmosphere, right? Through duplication of the original. So God has made a way for us to duplicate the original. To be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus was responsible. And even though He had no sin, He took all the sin of the world upon Himself. He was responsible for it. And when He was responsible for it, He had the authority over it. I hope somebody's getting that somewhere. So therefore, us being responsible for our actions, for us being responsible. If you want to move out of life from where you are right now, you better take responsibility for your entire life. That's right. See, we're always looking for somebody else to do it. But if you'll take responsibility over your life, you will have the authority to change it through the power of the cross of Christ.